I'm warming up. I'm warming my voice up. This is how I warm my voice up.
Oh, God. Okay. It sounded fine. It sounded fine on my end, but I guess I'm hearing through Skype, so it all depends on what it's going to sound like recorded onto it. Yup. I try to say goodbye and I choke. I try to walk away, but I stumble. Though I try to hide it, it's clear. My work crumbles when you are not here. It's fine. It's fine. It's pretty damn close. Yes. All right. 3, 2, 1, sync. Neat. Awesome. Well, here we are. Do you want to welcome us back? I think I brought us in, so. Oh, yeah. We don't have to say that, but thought something. Drug reference. Hey, everybody. Wow. My goodness. Did they? Getting high. Fly. Oh, that is the funnier joke. Yeah. They do it all. Yes. I kind of do too. I mean, I did my best. I think you did your best, but it is meh. The worthwhile episodes seem to be 65 episodes long. There's two seasons, one's 13 episodes, one's 52 episodes. I couldn't, like, in the time we allotted ourselves, I didn't have time to see them all. And I really kind of want to now. Thanks a lot, nostalgia. Indeed. Yeah, I mean, typically. Ugh. It's. I think it might be that there's an audio recognition, and if it's not the exact audio file or audio flow, I don't know, man. But we encourage legal watching of everything that we mention here. I mean, buy the episodes, and also do that Netflix and Hulu memberships. We're not making money off of it. I know, frickin', come on. Yeah, but join us in this this jump back into our childhoods. Okay, what were your reactions to? I mean, I haven't seen this in probably 15 years. How about you? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. My God, yeah. It. Sure. Very much so. Yeah, I loved that they actually took their time with the first episode, which a lot of times things do, like an hour long episode. They say a very special premiere episode or something like that. This was five. Or somebody gets hooked on drugs, or they find out that they're illiterate. No, that other people do. Oh my god, wait. What are these things in books? Oh my god. No, there's actually an illiteracy episode in this show, but it makes sense that there is, because my god, of course they didn't have books or whatever. Anyway, Hudson couldn't read. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. 994, thank you very much. Yes. Sure. Well, they don't even have names. Yeah, I mean, they are the only one that they give a name to, or humans give a name to, is Goliath, the leader. No. Well, I mean, there's Ugg, and there's Ooga Ooga, and Booga. Those are the caveman names. So yeah, you're right, absolutely. Ooga. It's a very odd thing to give to them, because they call each other like my angel, my friend, my mentor, different stuff like that. My doggy, according to Bronx. I mean, what is Bronx, for God's sake? Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's the product of inbreeding. I mean, he doesn't even have wings. That is the most awkward thing, to see them always like having to rescue Bronx, or to like two of the little ones hold on to him, like as they're flying down somewhere, flying away. I don't know. It's He does. I mean, he's a good attack dog. He's great. But he does seem more of a burden sometimes. But, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff about this show. What I was getting to was the opening episode is five episodes long. The opening arc is Awakenings. Oh, that's true. That's very true. Thanks for still listening, everybody. Well, thanks for sticking with us. So what were the good things in this show that came back to you? Yeah. That crazy bass. And his emotion that comes through when he finds out that people, first of all, that his clan has been killed, and then he's trying to get his revenge, and he's like, I've been denied everything, even my revenge! Oh my god. Dude. Amazing. Oh no. Sure. There's a point where Brooke, no, Broadway falls from from the air because he turned to stone, and she shoots a rope, and luckily the thing that falls from that rope smashes open and is a bunch of carpets. Rolled up carpet. It's... Did we? Oh, God. Yes, I watched that episode the other day, and I was like, oh, my God. That's fantastic. Yep. Fair enough. You know who I love is Macbeth. I forgot that I loved him so much, but he is... And they use so many Beths to make those sandwiches. he's actually, I know we'll get back to this later, but he's voiced by Gimli from Lord of the Rings. And he's got John Rhys-Davies. And he's got such a great commanding voice as well. I love when he says about Demona, he's like, "Know her, I named her." Just such awesome lines in this show. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's... Right. And she also has a bit of a blaming complex. She blames other people for her problems. And that's, you know, that is actually very relatable. She has such a conflict in her. She's kind of like, I would liken her a little bit to Magneto. Would you? I mean, she has that archetype of being the person who is not willing to give the enemy a chance, wants to destroy these people who don't accept her own kind. There's a lot of villains. Yes. Sure. Yeah. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how to read her. She has a way that she approaches things that are very self-serving, but she also has, she wants the best for her clan. I don't know. I couldn't get a beat on her. There are so many back, sort of retcons, you know, that take you back and add more to her story that it's very confusing. Like watching all of these back to back, you get your mind starts to become mush and you're like, wait, who's... I would actually love to see this in chronological order. That would be fascinating. Somebody put that together. Yes, please. So those are, I think there's also some awesome music in this show. My God, like that's part of the chills, you know, and and it's amazing. Even some of the fight scenes that are a little bit awkward sometimes because they had to. I don't know, man. It's like they don't exactly know where everyone is at one time. It's just. No, and it's like everybody else stood still for a couple of minutes, and then all of the things happen. It's kind of like the thing of having a, what's it called, a ninja attack one at a time. You know, the ninjas surround, and then they bah. But they do. You're right. They do have some cool moves. It's just stitched together very oddly. Okay. It's the old Hanna-Barbera trick. So speaking of awkward stuff, bad stuff, what did we notice in this whole thing? There are like you said, that there are a lot of subjects that they deal with. Yes, of course. So there's, you know, the loincloth issue. That's kind of awkward. Oh, they hang on. it's. Oh, my goodness. It's like they're part of their skin. It's very odd. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Huh. That's really strange. I always forget that she's wearing so much jewelry. And it's actually interesting. They put more jewelry on her as she grows. The young version didn't have earrings, I think. It was it was an interesting way to be able to tell them apart. But with Goliath, I couldn't tell him apart because he didn't change. It's very, very, no, but she. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was welded on her. Yeah. Some of the other weird stuff is, they deal with, ghosts. At one point, for revenge, and Hakon the Viking, which, yeah, and actually they were, the Vikings were actually, invading during the 900s. So that was factually accurate. There's a lot of things that we'll get to that are quite weirdly accurate. Also werewolves, man. Yep. That is actually because, of the Eye of Odin brings out, deep seated fears or the truth of what somebody is, I guess. And I think it was just because her name was Fox. Also, she was fiery. She was fiery. I don't know. With. And. And it wasn't, it was very funny because sometimes they had like mysteries, quote unquote, in the episodes that were like, wait, who could that possibly be? And the werewolf has the tattoo of Fox on its eye, the same place that maybe it wasn't supposed to be a mystery. Maybe we weren't supposed to be so confused by it, but, Mm-hmm. Oh, Man Bat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously. Whoa! Yeah, of course. Well, because Batman has to fight Man Bat. It makes total sense. It's his greatest foe. It's like he's looking in a mirror. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, I saw that. Right? It couldn't. No, there's explosions, but you are to assume that Batman got everybody out or something like that. Like there's an episode. Well, the first episode, first of all of the gargoyles die. In the second season, there's the episode City or the episode arc, four episodes, City of Stone, where what's her name? Demona starts walking through New York and just smashing humans that were turned to stone and shooting them with a laser gun. So it had a little bit of balls. They couldn't exactly show too much, you know, slitting of throats or anything like that. But Jesus, they had some stakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. 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 I mean, Broadway accidentally shoots Elisa, and they go through a whole episode where she, well, a couple of episodes where she's still on crutches and stuff like that, but my God, yeah, this was real world, kind of. I mean, not real world, I know what we're talking about. Yeah. But there... Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember it being, yeah. Right. Well, and really, what has taken on Shakespeare, The virtual reality, hacking, computer viruses, cybernetics, Scottish history. I mean, it was a deep thing. It, you know, there's stuff about corporate espionage, multiple personalities, like aliens, for God's sake. They go to World War II at one point. And time travel. Which is difficult. They walk a line. Yeah, they do walk a line. They walk a line. But they touch on a lot of things, and I would even say that growing pessimism kind of come with life.
Yeah.
Not only do they hit on that with Demona, but also even in that futuristic episode, which I think was part of the Avalon,
yeah.
Where Lexington.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and oh my God. Yeah, there's so much shit, I don't know.
Yes, there's so much.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about why they start out in Scotland. Why is Hudson the only one with a Scottish accent? He's the only... And then he's old. Exactly. And then, of course, Goliath's mullet is unfortunate but masterful. That's true. Exactly. Okay, so we talked before we even started about Xanatos, which is what this all kind of centers around, right? Yeah, I mean, well, of course, there's the beginning where they all get frozen, but do we want to start with this, or do we want to jump into something else? By the way, yeah, I don't know where we want to go from here. Yeah, okay. Let's start it. I'll start it in. Yeah, exactly. And I really think we can. There's only a few subjects. All right. So one thing I wanted to talk about was Xanatos. I mean, he's a. Yummy. Now in fruit flavors. So his, he's kind of, I mean, there is the beginning incident of him, of the betrayal and everything that leads to a lot of stuff where they get frozen for 1,000 years until the castle is raised above the sky, or raised above the clouds or something to that effect. And then Xanatos finds out about that and decides, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help that happen. Mm-hmm. David's. Mm-hmm. motivationless, kind of. Which they don't exactly feel completely designed for. I mean, like, they don't... Sure, there's one in an airship, but they're not super qualified for the mission. You know? Yeah. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but then he goes to jail, so he can't kill them. But they're living at the castle, and Owen is there, and he's just like, "Yeah, you can stay here. That's fine." Oh yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So there's an episode where, like I was screaming about earlier, time travel, where they go back in time, and they get he gets a coin or four coins or something like that from the king, and he's like, oh, that's cool. So he sends one to the Illuminati to send to him 1,000 years later, so that he can sell it to get $20,000 to make it, to turn into his investment, and then he becomes that. Then like a year later, I don't know, a year later, he's supposed to give get this message to explain how he did this all. And I'm wondering, because we never see the note. My theory is that the actual note has so much more to do, not just, oh, here's how you travel back in time. I think it explains everything about the castle, about how to manipulate Demona and Macbeth and the gargoyles. I think he actually had to set in motion all of this to actually go back in time to set it all up. All he does is say, I sent a note to explain to myself how this all happened. But they don't say all. Yeah, because where it has to have happened to have happened. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So I don't know. It remains in a loop. There's another point in this series with the Archmage, who becomes a big, there's a big bad guy who's a wizard, who actually saves himself from dying because he had become so powerful in the future, but he had to have become so powerful in the future to go back in time to save himself from dying. So that's another one of those loops that is very frustrating. And then when in the very end, last six or seven episodes, Goliath does this thing where he says the incantation of the Phoenix Gate, which is the time travel machine that they have, and he just throws it into the time portal. So it's floating out there somewhere. You'd think so. I don't know how time travel works, man. I am not E equals MC Squarey. But it is kind of fun to look back and be like, oh, it was always meant to be because they did it already and blah, blah, blah. So if you don't think about it too hard, it's great. so there were these... a lot of the beginning episodes are very Disney-ish because they end with morals, which are kind of fun. Not fun. They're kind of awful, some of them. Like, don't play with guns because don't shoot your friends. You know, family is home, not just the house. Old people are valuable, too. Love your family. Sometimes they wouldn't respect old people, and then you find out, oh, old people are actually good. I mean, they're less valuable. You can't get as much money for them. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. But yeah, those are some fun things. And there's a little bit of slapstick and those music cues that are... I do too. Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. Or any of the three younger guys. always eating. Oh. And. Well, that's his voice. And that leads us to the segment. Guess who that was? This is in this quick. Yay. I'm going to speed through this because it's very dense. One of the cool things about this, and probably a lot of people know this if you're fans of Gargoyles, but there were about 90 credited actors on IMDb for this TV series. And a third of them, that's 30 of them, were involved in somehow the Star Trek franchise. So that's kind of cool. Either the original series, because Elisa Maza's mother, the original series, Nichelle Nichols, the one who played Uhura, is Elisa Maza's mother. Jonathan Frakes, of course, we talked about, is William Riker. LeVar Burton is Anansi in Africa. I know, it's so cool. Demona is actually... Of course he is. Demona is Deanna Troi from The Next Generation. Yeah. I know. Yeah, it is odd. She's, well, for being a counselor, she's got to be measured. Lieutenant Worf, Michael Dorn, was Coldstone. Puck was Commander Data. Captain Janeway was T'Tanya. And there was a bunch more, but they were in like video games and different stuff like that. Actually, Frank Welker does one of the Spock screams in The Search for Spock, so that's kind of fun. Roddy McDowell, the Cornelius from the original Planet of the Apes. Roddy McDowell. He plays Proteus. James Avery, Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince, plays a shaman at one point. And Jim Belushi is in it at one point, too. He plays Fang, one of the mutants. No, it's the asshole leader of them. Just a bunch of other people. Please IMDb them and give them some appreciation. They're fantastic, and most of them are on Twitter, so go find them. So finally, I tried to make it as fast as possible. I'm on it. Time me. I know. Oh, yeah. Well, they actually, they mentioned this in the show in the second season. Constantine the Third was about to take rule of Scotland in 995 AD, and this started in Scotland 994. So that was kind of cool. But gargoyles have been around since Egyptian days, but they really, in Europe, apparently, they started appearing on churches in the 12th to 13th century. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. 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 Aww. Oh, that's right, yes. Well, they couldn't burn its head, so they cut the head off and, like, mounted it on a pike. And that's what it represented. Hmm, interesting. Well, and there was also something for the already Christian people that it was to remind them of almost of hell, of the horrors that existed if you didn't believe in Christianity. So it was a dual role, kind of. It was to defend from harmful spirits, and it was to represent harmful spirits. Exactly. Oh, great. That was an interesting thing. They didn't really deal with religion in Gargoyles the series. I agree. I absolutely agree. Some interesting thing, misnomer of the gargoyle word. God, finally find him. No, actually, like you said, gargoyles were almost specifically for water spouts. But anything that was a fully full figure of stone was called a chimera or a grotesque. And eventually the term gargoyle sort of took over for all of those things, which clearly cooler word. So that is actually what refers to them all now, rather than
gargoyle.
Yeah. but cool. So I found something out about the castle. Wyvern. Well, you didn't listen then, just like you didn't in class. It's actually modeled after a real castle, Tintagel. I don't know how to say it. Tintagel castle in Cornwall. It's actually the legendary site of King Arthur's conception. Woo woo. And they actually think that it's where he was born. So that's kind of cool. And he played, once again, a historical, not a historical figure, but a figure of legend, played a character in this series. So he was pretty cool. He was a defender of Avalon, I believe. It was on top of Xanatos' building, was actually called the Eyrie Building, which I do not remember hearing once in the series, but I looked it up and it actually had a title, and they may have said it at one point, but that's me for noticing stuff. And it was so cool. Mm-hmm. Pools. Oh, yeah. Well, at one point, it looks almost like in that area, there's part of the land was taken out from underneath the castle. Like, and set down, and I don't know. I don't know how in-depth he went, but yeah, that atrium is beautiful. Yeah, perfect. Exactly. We had to. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it is. That's what he claims, at least. I was actually doing some research and looking at where it could possibly be from different pictures, and it looks like it's at the south end of Central Park, and it in pictures you can also see the Chrysler Building, and it is so puny compared to their building, and the Chrysler Building is about 1,000 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Of course. That's a cheat. Yeah. Oh, so that wouldn't be that hard. Well, that's a, yeah, and it's a very open-ended vague sort of magic spell, you know, just when until it rises above the cloud. Such a little jerk. Yeah, that. Man, I was really bad at this. Yeah, he didn't practice like one of the because the Archmage had that that crazy lightning spell. I can't remember what the lightning spell was, but he kept saying it over and over again, and he would shock people and hit them with it. That was, I mean, learn one thing, one defensive spell. Jesus Christ, dummy. But the Magus, what an idiot. Oh my goodness. I did not really. Oh, I just wanted to talk about why it got canceled and then turned into the Goliath Chronicles. So Disney canceled this wonderful show, in my opinion, because apparently it was doing all right in the ratings, but was not competing well enough with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That's so dumb. So ABC, actually, after Disney canceled it, I think it was on UPN for us, wasn't it? I don't know. But ABC picked it up. Oh, no, but it was... Who the hell knows? ABC picked it up the season after and created the Goliath Chronicles. And the same year, Disney bought ABC. And so they cancel it again. So kind of, but I will say that it was a completely different animating and writing staff. So it's very hard to continue on with that. Like even having all of the voice actors return, it still felt disingenuous. Honestly, they tried, but that was its own issues. We're not even going to tackle that because there's better stuff. There's better stuff, but, so, yes, what is your scale for this? What is your score? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice. I'm gonna give it, just because I have to be different, I'm gonna give it an 8.75 rookery eggs, which means you have to break one of the eggs, which is sad. No. Exactly. I'm close to giving it a 9 because this had all of the adventure and like, yeah, it's flat and some of the motivations are a little wonky, but if you just look at it as a fun ride, it is ridiculously detailed. We didn't even get into the Avalon Chronicles, which is almost exactly half the season and all of the intricacies of the past storylines and everything like that. I got choked up there on my Macallan neat. Because we gotta drink scotch for this. I just absolutely loved it, and the creators clearly loved it as well. They put in so much work and so much detail, and I think the fans were rewarded for it. So there. Mm-hmm. We might do it just as a bit of a wrap up. We'll do a flashback episode sometime in the future. Yeah. Oh, and there's actually a comic series that only. Fair enough. It's too much, man. There's so many things to do. Well, that's it for Gargoyles. And stay tuned, because next time, what do we got? Or 50 Shades of Gummy Bears. Horrors about... No, it doesn't. Horrors... Nope, yeah, I don't know. Just do whatever you want. Ooh, that sounds spooky. We're on. Oh, they can subscribe on any of the podcast platforms that you love. Review and give us a little review and a rating on iTunes. That helps us a lot. And we're on Twitter, Instagram. You can email us at outofmemorypod if you. Oh God. 90333. Ha! Oh, God. Come on. Well. No! All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in and suffering through it with us. See you next time. Ta-ta.